you get the trial, Doug?
No.
Dude,
no.
Summer, you promised.
Listen, Aaron, I have a household full of four other people, and my wife's not watching any of this stuff.
But it's like,
and the other three people are under 10. I mean, I could get the trial, but I know I'm not going to cancel it then. So anything that I get as far as streaming to be...
Okay, well, all right. Well, if you
can, I promise that next time I come on, I'll have it.
No, because your promises are as good as
it's not gonna happen.
Not good at all. In fact, I think every promise you've made, you've not kept. Mm-hmm. So thanks, yeah. Doug. Everybody, Doug McCambridge. And so the Criterion now 18. We also have a new voice, Jackie Carlson. Hello, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi. A female voice. We don't get a lot of females. Most of us Criterion dorks are guys, I guess. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking. But, you know, I've noticed that a lot of, like, classic movie fans, are TCM kind of fans are female, like TCM party stuff. So so maybe it's just the collecting, hoarding aspect of it. I don't know. Do you have any theories, Jackie?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I guess...
That's good too.
We nerd differently, yeah.
Well, you're one of us too. So, so anyway, Doug McCambridge, Great Times, Good Movies. Or is that right?
You said that wrong.
I always do that backwards.
The words are all there. It doesn't matter what order you put them in. Exactly. If you type that into the internet, you'll find it.
Good point. and I guess playing cast or no.
I think we have to stop the delusion that's coming back. Okay. I feel bad. I really wanted to go for it. And I got to tell you, David Blakeslee's going to kick my ass. I think he bought a Plate Archive release of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy to talk to me.
And so, actually.
And you so if anyone
that,
out there wants to buy it from him, so he's not as angry with me, just do that. That would be great.
Wait, which Tinker Tailor? Are we talking about Alec Guinness Tinker Tailor or...
We're talking about the more
Gary
recent.
Oldman, yeah.
Mm, very good. Mm, nice.
Yeah. Did you record already with David?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No. Well, No. I'd feel really bad then. I just put it out.
Right.
I mean, although I recorded with Dave Eves, and I haven't put that out.
Forget about Dave Eves. He's fine.
Okay, good.
Or you could put it out on some other platform. Anyway, Jackie Carlson, so your first podcast, right?
It is.
Yeah, but... What's even cooler is you were actually on TCM, which I'm still enamored by. And I know it was like for a segment, and it was probably nerve-wracking for you, but you introduced a movie. You want
to
talk about that real quick? Or
okay, so I was recently in January on the TCM Fan Favorites, I guess, segment, where members of the TCM backlot submit 10 movies that they're into, and then... If you're chosen, one of those films are put on TCM. You speak with Ben Mankiewicz. You kind of introduce it. It was horrifying. and I literally just chose 10 random movies, and they kind of chose, of course, the most random for me. So it was like, wow, yeah, I'm like totally semi-enthusiastic about this. yeah, that was fun.
You picked number 10 of... Of my top 10, so...
Literally, yes.
Okay, which one was that again? I did see it, and I thought it was fine. It was great, actually.
It was actually Mr. Blanings Builds His Dream House with Cary Grant and Myrna Loy, and it is a wonderful movie.
Okay, I haven't seen the movie, but I mean, your segment was great. So,
thank you.
And we know you from social media. In fact, we know a lot of people, these people we have on the show from social media. And it's kind of an insular group, so I kind of wonder if all the listeners are like, what are all these in-jokes? But, you know, who cares? they'll pick up on them.
Yeah, they just have to join.
So we always warm up by talking about what we've been up to lately. And I think, Doug, you've kind of already spilled some of the beans. You've been destroying shows and not keeping promises. But anything else going on?
Yep, I've been quitting podcasts that I started, but continuing with Good Times, Great Movies. And so if anybody, I mean, I know that there's a decent amount of people who listen to this Criterion stuff who also listen to my podcast. So yesterday the latest episode went up, and we talk about the sort of cult, I guess it's cult, film Class of 1984. It's super crazy and a super fun movie, but...
Okay.
Podcast is there, and I now have a website, which you forced me to do last time, Aaron. So I did want to let you know I followed through on that.
All right. Yeah. Well, you did say you were going to do like everything in the summer, so it's June. So
I did one thing. That's it.
Okay. Well, you still have a little bit of summer. Actually, technically, summer hasn't even started.
I'm taking 3 months off now. That's okay. It. I made a website. That took all of 20 minutes. I'm done.
Okay. Well, actually, I haven't seen the website yet, so I guess probably nobody else has either, so I'll put it in the show notes.
No. Okay.
But it does make it easier for, you know, when we're doing shows, stuff like this, and you plug an episode for me to link to it. So thanks. Made my life easier for people to find you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jackie, have you been up to anything fun lately? Or
I have been deep in the David Lynch zone. Twin Peaks has, like, taken me there. I've been reading Lynch on Lynch. I've been watching all the shorts. It's all I think about. It's a problem.
Okay, well, actually, that's good timing, and I want you to hold that thought. Don't get too deep into the rabbit hole. I guess that's a pun with his because we're going to get into some. In fact, I think for the foreseeable future, probably the next 10, 12, 15, 18 weeks, we're going to be talking about David Lynch.
Yeah, you're going to be talking about it until September at least.
For sure, yeah. And maybe beyond, because who knows what all is coming out. So, well, let me get to it. I have my little story. This is kind of bonkers, actually. So last Sunday, I live in the Southeast. We get these huge rainstorms. I'm sure you do too, Jackie. But we just get these like pop-up storms with lightning and thunder, and we're kind of used to them. But on Sunday, we got one that was just explosive. It was like 15, 20 minutes, and we knew it was coming. But in like the first 10 seconds, we were like, holy shit, this one is for real. We ran through our house, unplugged all our TVs, all our outlets, everything possible. And actually, I'm going to need everybody's help, listeners too. So we unplugged the surge protectors. We had nothing on, no internet, waded through it, got through it. 20 minutes later, plugged everything in, and our Keurig was blasted, which we forgot to unplug that. Sorry, Keurig. A few electrical outlets, our cable was fried, and but then the big thing we wanted to test first was our new 70-inch TV. It's still only about 5-6 months old. It's beautiful 4K TV. So we turn it on, and it works. And we're like, sweet. All right, well, as long as we have that. So then, maybe an hour later, after, you know, we've done the, oh, crap, we lost our cable. Actually, Andrea's Jeopardy episodes were on that DVR, too. So it was a rough loss. So then I decide, okay, I'm going to watch a movie. So I put in a movie, and nothing. And so it turns out I had a 70-inch Netflix player. All the connections were blown out. It was through the coaxial cable, and we do have a good surge protector, but I guess you have to protect against cable. Sorry, I'm drinking.
It's fine. Yeah, this is something I'm unfamiliar with. I guess near Philadelphia, we don't get storms like that. or if we do, it's very, very rare. Now, this is nothing I've ever run into.
So I did some research online, and I found, okay, HD ports, actually not HD ports, but HDMI ports do get destroyed, and they can be easily fixed. The problem is there are really no TV repairmen anymore. Like, really none. We found one in town, and they said, oh yeah, bring it on by. And I said, it's 70 inches and we don't have a truck, and even if we did, I don't know that we'd feel comfortable just throwing it in the truck. So anyway, we finally called the manufacturer, Samsung, and they walked us through it, and they said, they did the kind of like the login from their point. And they said, your connections are fine, we recognize it, we see that there's cable, etc. Tell you what, why don't you pull out your player and try it in another TV? So I did that. 20 minutes later, I call them back. They look at something else, and they said, oh, your TV's destroyed. Your warranty is voided. You should turn it off and never turn it back on again because you could get electrocuted. And this is it was $1,500. So we financed it, so we had been on payment, I don't know, eight, so that was a bummer.
Jeez.
Sorry, I'm drinking a beer as I'm telling the story. I shouldn't do that. I need a beer after telling the story. So then, last resort, we decided to call Amazon, which is where we bought it. And Amazon just said, at first they said, oh, you know, it's a 30-day warranty and it doesn't cover Lightning. It's basically, you know, they told me to call the manufacturer. I said, well, I had to call the manufacturer, and they, you know, just relayed what I just told you guys. And they said, okay, well, guess what? We'll make an exception for you, and I'm going to print you a return label. And I said, wait, what? I said, this is $1,500. You know this is $1,500 TV, right? And they said, yeah, no problem. Your return label is going on email. And then I was like, well, okay, I can't just put this in an envelope. You know, return label is a nice gesture and all, but... So, and then he said, so we'll send a truck next week. And I said, we'll take it. I gave him a time.
Man, that's fantastic.
They're coming by Monday, and then we had to try to find a box for it. I mean, it's not easy to to think around. my wife drives a Mazda 3, so she went to the U-Haul store and they found a box that fit it, but it wouldn't fit in her car. So we ended up buying a box off Amazon that arrived Friday to return a $1,500 TV to Amazon. So we'll be doing that tomorrow and editing the show. But then the problem is we don't have a TV downstairs. We have one in our upstairs. This is total first world problems. I know. Do not cry for us at all. but so we're now kind of like cutting the cord in a way because we don't our cable's fried. We could get it back, but we don't have a TV to play it. So we did get Sling TV, and I guess we're going to see how this goes for the next few months. But if anybody has any... the thing is, you can't buy a TV like this right now because we bought this Black Friday. And so if we buy one right now, it's either used, probably one like mine that has been fried from electricity that they fixed. So we have to wait for probably like Prime Day or Black Friday again. So anyway, if anybody has any advice on how to get a good 70-inch TV that fits our mount and ends this nightmare, please share. Or good advice on like cutting the cord, because that's something have you guys cut the cord?
I've considered it, but you know what? Actually canceling my cable and just having internet is more expensive than keeping my cable.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they get you.
Is it really because of like the bundle? Is that?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, actually, if I cut it, it ends up being $20 cheaper. Meh.
Yeah, that's not worth it. Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, we cut it and we saved about $100, and that then
includes
Sling TV. Yeah.
Oh, amazing!
And actually, it keeps basic cable because we have a TV upstairs. So again, very first world problems. Don't cry for us. We're without a 70-inch TV for 3 months. The horror.
It is horrifying. I'm very sad.
They did refund the money, and it went to our little payment system. So all of a sudden, overnight, we had one less bill. So that that felt
sweet.
Good. And then of course, I have to watch movies and stuff. And so anyway, I'll live. Don't cry.
So now you have a black and white tube TV in your bedroom.
I have this iPad. I have to watch stuff on that. So.
Yeah, adjust the UHF, VHF.
Actually, we might get an antenna. that, apparently, that's like a thing now. It's like they have real, like, digital antennas that you can...
Yeah, they have these weird digital... My in-laws have them because they still don't have cable. My in-laws have a little digital antenna that's on top of their TV. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well,
it's nice.
Yeah. So people have recommended it. And if you think about it, if you cut the cord and do like streaming services or, we did try Sling, Slingcast or Slingbox, whatever Sling thing. And that's actually pretty comprehensive. It has TCM and all these other channels. So anyway, I guess we should do a show here.
So you'll be able to see Jackie is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Jackie, when do you go back on TCM? I assume that's pretty much a recurring gig, right?
Well, I imagine when Ben Minkowitz retires and I take his job over.
So did he made you heir apparent?
Yes, actually, after the show. He's like, I can't wait for you to succeed me.
He's like, you rocked it. You know, he gets a lot of hate. And I think a lot of it's politics, and I don't really look into that stuff. But, yeah, I miss Robert Osborne terribly.
It's so sad. Yeah, I know.
That one hurt. Anyway.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, we have a show to do, so we have a few things to talk about. I think we have a lot of good things to talk about. But I think what's cool is we're going to be getting into female filmmakers today. So I'll start with the newsletter clue. And Jackie, I know you're into Criterions, but I don't know if you're into the nerdog. I don't know. I'm trying to make up a word that doesn't exist. But the nerdophilia or whatever of everything that they tease out. Do you pay attention to this stuff, or do you just watch us?
Not too much, no. I would say that, like, let's say on the Spinal Tap scale, I'm like, turn up to 11 on my enthusiasm, but at a 4 on my nerding. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. So when you get, like, a newsletter, you probably get it, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You don't spend hours trying to dissect the clue?
I don't. Okay. I skim, but I love, you know, you guys are like my shortcut, you know. You do all the work, and I just absorb.
Mm-hmm. In truth, they are my shortcut, too. I don't have time for that. Yeah. I love knowing, seeing all the theories, but I basically crowdsource all of that stuff. So, well, this month was pretty obvious. It's Desert Hearts. It's a 1986 film. It's an LGBT movie. I think it's mostly L. I don't know. I don't know much about it. It's a 1986 film. It was kind of an obscure indie. So it's interesting. I think it's more interesting just because it's an obscure female filmmaker. And we know this is what it is because it's played some festivals and it had a UCLA and Janus restoration. So it's absolutely Desert Hearts. I think actually it was me that suggested Wild at Heart, which was a bad idea. Because it's two cactuses shaped like a heart. But if you think about how they would draw that clue, that would not be it. So that they're definitely focused on female filmmakers. So we put up a poll to the Criterion Now group, and I was really pleased with the responses because we just put it up today. And it was basically and I should also mention there's Wonder Woman. It's going to be probably the highest grossing female-directed movie ever, and I'm not as into the DC universe, but I think that's actually kind of awesome. So have either of you seen that yet?
No, but it looks amazing.
Yeah, I would have to second that. I have not seen it, but it's something I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm not a big superhero movie person. I see a lot of them, but I don't like a lot of them, but I'm sure I'll see it at some point, and I think I'm just looking forward to it because of the buzz around it, but I haven't heard a bad thing yet. So
the reviews are great, and yeah, the Batman, Superman, Suicide Squad. I know some people like those films. I'm not one of those people. In fact, I think I made it through about 20 minutes of Suicide Squad.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, it's
brutal. Batman, Superman's all right.
Okay, yeah. I saw it. It was fun. It was okay. It was dumb, but that's okay, too. So anyway, so female filmmakers are a thing. And in fact, in a little digression, I was having lunch with a fellow film, actually the director of our indie theater here the other day. And she told me that any minority or female director, she will go to their Friday night screening regardless of what the movie is, which is actually amazing, and she just said that my $10 goes to their first night gross. So I feel like I'm pitching into this cause to make to diversify the industry. And I didn't follow up to ask, you know, is that every movie? Because there are bad movies too, poorly reviewed movies. I'll have to follow up and ask her. So anyway, we asked. And I should also preface this by saying that Peter Becker last year, he said that Criterion was going to focus on bringing more female filmmakers to the collection, which I think is awesome. So I asked who would people like to see most in the collection, and my choice was Agnes Varda, which is a pretty no-brainer, and I was pleased to see that everybody else, well, not everybody else, but the majority of people went along with me. She was the leading vote getter. And she also had a Region B box set come out or announced that's going to have everything, basically. So I think there's a good chance. And she was asleep at the Criterion offices a couple months ago. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance. Are you all Varda fans? I'm sure you are.
I've never seen anything, but I watched that clip on Criterion, and literally I have never seen anything so French in my life. So I'm pretty interested.
She's terrific. You'll love her. And yeah, she was married to Jacques Demy, so.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
No, I'm a fan. I'm looking forward to the box set. I think it's one of those things that is, it needs to be released. Like, it's one of those things where I'm surprised that there hasn't already been. Maybe there is. Maybe there's. Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick. Hey, we okay,
Doug?
What happened?
Yeah, I lost all that. Hold on.
I don't need to say anything.
Yeah, so.
Should I just leave?
Everything you just said, can you start that over? From Agnes Varda. Okay. I heard.
Is it me? Is it on my end?
No, it's because it was my fault because I went to my browser and I don't know why on my laptop, anytime I do this,
No, that's
interferes
fine.
With the Skype, so that's why I use the iPad. So, sorry.
I was wondering, I was like, wow, what an odd response. Aaron's just staring at me. I thought he'd be happy I wanted it.
No, I heard nothing, so
I am looking forward to
I might keep that
to,
in.
I'm looking forward to the Varda box set. It's definitely something that I will be picking up and take three if I need to. I don't know.
That might be a nice behind the curtain.
That's right.
Little thing. So I probably will edit out the but so
is there any Agnes Varda in the collection right now?
Oh, there's a ton. Yeah, there's the four by Agnes Varda. Now it's DVD. I don't think she has any
Blue-ray.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. But there's no blue. All right. Okay.
Right. And so this box set is from Artificial Eye, and it has Clear from 5 to 7, Jacquois de Nantes. Another one I'm not going to read, Le Bonheur, which is amazing, The Gleaners and I from 2000, and The Beaches of Agnes, Vagabond, and La Pointe Court. So good representation of her work. And Jackie, if you haven't seen them, it's good.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, I mean, Jackie, if you just watch Cleo 5 to 7, that's mm-hmm. I don't want to say that's enough, but you'll be quite satisfied with that.
That's one I hadn't seen.
On the list.
That's the big blind spot for me. Yeah, Vagabond is one I advocate. Mm-hmm. And next on the list was Sofia Coppola, which is pretty cool because she just won Best Director at Cannes for The Beguiled. And I'm pretty sure The Beguiled does not come into the collection. I doubt it. I don't even know who acquired it. But it's probably going to be pretty popular. But really, I think the only shot she would have would be Lost in Translation. Which mm-hmm. are you a fan, Jackie?
I'm a huge fan.
Me too. I love the soundtrack. It's
her use of music is amazing. And her choice in music is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I get kind of nerdy, but I don't do all the rights issues like Virgin Suicides. Would there be a chance of that? I don't know who owns the rights to any of that stuff. So
I'm halfway nerdy with that stuff. So I don't
okay.
know.
All right. No, but I'm a huge fan.
And actually,
anything she's done would be fantastic to have in the collection.
The Bling Ring, are you cool with that?
That might be my least favorite.
Yeah, same.
What's the one with
Marie Antoinette? Are you okay?
No. Ooh, love.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
great.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't
like the one with Stephen Dorff. What was that movie?
Somewhere. I haven't seen it yet, but I'd like to,
seen
yeah.
It either, yeah, yeah. So, but again, Marie Antoinette was terrible to me. Sorry. But the music was great.
Oh, heartbroken. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I'd watch it again, Aaron. I would watch it again. I mean, if you have the time, because I wasn't crazy about it the first time, but I've seen it twice since, and I've liked it more each time.
I love that. Just watch it again. I say it all the time, but I hate hearing it. It's like, okay, invalidated opinion, try it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one was Claire Denis, speaking of French. And yeah, I think I can never say the name. BT is what I'm going to call it. So that's up there. And then there was Kelly Reichardt, who's American, kind of a slow burn director. And I actually haven't seen a whole lot of hers. I saw Old Joy back in the day, and then she's
enjoyed
done
that.
Wendy and Lucy. What was that?
Very good.
Yeah?
Wendy and Lucy, very good. Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that fitting into the collection.
Isn't that about a girl that loses her dog? Is that it?
Yeah, Michelle Williams. Okay. Yeah, she's sort of lives in her car, loses her dog. Yeah, it's lovely.
Okay, that's a plot for a Kelly Reichardt movie.
Slow burner.
And then there's Ida Lupino, who I have to admit, she's a fixture in classic cinema, but she's a blind spot for me. I've never seen any, I don't think I've seen anything by her. So as our TCM representative, Jackie, Ida?
I like the idea of Ida. I like her place in cinema history, her actual films. I could live without, but I always try and catch one if I can.
Okay. And, you know, the idea of a female filmmaker, I know in the classic male-dominated studio system, you really didn't see it, besides Ida. But there were a lot before that. I was thinking Clara Bow, too, even though that's way, way back.
Ooh, yeah.
Sure.
And there's French Alice Guy Blanche, and then there's another, and then Germaine Dulac. Yeah, so I probably just lost everybody there, but there are, anyway, back to the list. And then we had Andrea Arnold, who actually my wife recommended, but she didn't bother watching American Honey, but she loves Fish Tank, so I don't know if there are any other Andrea Arnold features to, do you guys know?
I'm not sure, those are the only two I've seen.
Same.
Okay, did you like them?
Yeah, very much
yes.
so.
Yes.
Okay. Ringing endorsements
question.
Here. We're just going to yes or no questions the whole way. And then Chantal Ackerman. Speaking of French, and I have to correct myself, by the way. I said No Home Movie the other, on two podcasts ago, and I thought that was her latest movie. I'm sorry. No, it was News from Home. That's the movie from the 70s. So I mixed those two up, and somebody called me out. So anyway, I do know those two films, but I had a brain fart on the show. It won't be the last time. So are you familiar with Chantal Ackerman, Jackie?
No, not really. Wait, what is she?
Well, she's a French director. She's iconic. Jean Dillman is probably the big one, and it's basically 3.5 hours of variations of a lady doing domestic work in the kitchen, but it's very, Ooh. Very feminist. It's very subversive. It's actually amazing.
All right, let me write this down.
Doug,
you
can just listen.
Yeah, I think that's the only film of hers that I've seen. And I know that you were going back and forth about watching it in installments. I had to do that too. I mean,
that's
a long time to put into a film.
And especially, no, you're going to reap the reward if you make it through one sitting, you know, if you somehow lock down that bladder and you know, reserve the breakfast to lunch period. I don't know.
Is she literally just doing domestic, like, household work for 3.5 hours, or is there dialogue?
There's more to it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't want to give it away.
And it's one of those things where I don't want to say, okay, you have to sit through all of that, quote unquote, to get to the end.
Right.
But it's really worth it. I mean, going through it, yes.
And actually, just her philosophy, and she committed suicide last year, so it's actually a sad ending. But so on that note, rather than bring the show down, Catherine Bigelow, who is, I think, probably the most mainstream, actually up until Wonder Woman, on this list, but I think there'd be opportunities for her. Strange Days, maybe? I mean, maybe like down the road, The Hurt Locker, when the studios are down with it.
Ten more years for Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah, she needs to age a little. Maybe early stuff, maybe. Jane Campion is already in the collection with Sweetie, which may have hurt her chances, because that's that movie's pretty weird. she's done some great work, but good TV work, too. But The Piano, of course, is a possibility. Mm-hmm. Maya Deren is somebody completely new to me. I think she's an experimental filmmaker. I don't know. Jackie, I know you prepared, actually, for this episode. Did you get anything from Maya Deren?
I wrote down 40s and 50s experimental. That's all I know.
All right. Well, I was close.
that's more than I know, so way to go.
Yep.
Ava DuVernay, and actually what was kind of awesome is that one of the people that commented worked on Selma, so of course he would like to see Selma in the collection. So, and then Lynn Ramsey, I think that's probably very likely, because she just had a film at Cannes, and she has, I liked Malvern Collar. And I'm just going to run through the rest. So we had Elaine May.
Oh, yeah, Morvern Caller. Okay. I never knew who made that movie. That's a great movie.
I love that movie. Yeah, it's weird, though. It's if you know Ramsey, it's very, very Lynn Ramsey. Lena Wertmüller, I guess that's how you say it. I haven't seen any of her movies, but she's well-respected, and I would like to.
She has great glasses, too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that's it.
Very cool looking.
They should have a supplement about her glasses.
They absolutely should.
Mira Nair, who's already in for Monsoon Wedding. Sarah Pauly, Julie Taymor, Lucille Heads. I'm not going to bother with that, but she did Innocence, which I wanted to see. Lenny Riefenstahl, which was very interesting. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Controversial.
Just going to leave that one there. Allison Anders, Jennifer Kent, who I don't know, and Catherine Brûlé, who I added and nobody really voted for, and then Cleo Bernard. So there's about 20-something filmmakers for Criterion to think about. And there's probably more that we don't know about, like the fine lady that directed Desert Hearts, who I don't have at my fingertips. But so obviously we want Criterion to continue putting on out the best films in cinema, but Doug, just what do you think about female filmmakers in general, and are you all for it? I hope you are.
No, the wrong answer,
by the way.
I'm not going to come on and say no and then leave. No, I'm all for it. Again, I think it comes down to the film. If it's a good film, it's a good film. But I do think when you look at a collection, you know, put out by any studio, it is nice to have that diversity. You know, it is nice to have these films from all over the world, and it's nice of them to even do more of this sort of Mexican and South American cinema.
Sure.
A lot of times we don't see stuff like that. So, yeah, I think the more diversity, the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, less just white guys doing well.
Right.
Although I will say, and we had a good talk with Kristen Sales about this on the Fat Girl episode, is that there are guys that captured females pretty well. In fact, I was looking at Housekeeping by Forsythe, and that's a movie that had a really strong female character. So, you know, even though obviously we want females to be able to portray females, there are strong females out there, and Bergman actually I think does pretty well too. So, Jackie, what do you think?
Females,
yes or no?
don't know. I mean, it'd be great if more women got involved in filmmaking in general, probably. And then that would create more opportunity, a bigger pool. But for the most part, I don't really think in terms, I guess, of male, female.
And that's one thing. We're talking about 100 years of cinema that's mostly male-dominated. So you don't want to exclude a bunch of terrific movies because the industry was backwards. So that's a good a good thought. And so anyway, we'll move on. Female filmmakers, there will be more of them. I think actually just in mainstream cinema, I think Wonder Woman has actually been probably a big milestone for female filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And probably on Criterion. So how about some David Lynch?
Yay!
He is a boy, by the way. He's very white. I don't think you can get much whiter.
Oh, he's so white.
He's very white. So David Lynch, all right, so let's start with Firewalk with Me. So it's coming to the Criterion Collection. Whether you care or not, it's coming. So they put a promo up on the YouTube channel this week, and it's already on the Janus Films website. So I still am curious how it happens, but and we have video on. Jackie is basically like a giddy schoolgirl here, with like a toothy grin. So I'll just throw it to you, Jackie. Firewalk with Me. Is it terrible or awesome?
To be honest, I haven't seen Firewalk with Me since I had it on VHS. It's probably been about 15 years.
Okay.
But it's wonderful. Chris Isaac, oh my gosh. David Bowie, oh gosh. It's just lovely. So dark and
So I'm going through Twin Peaks for the first time. I'd watched Firewalk with Me with no context whatsoever. And
oh, that's brutal.
It was not a good idea. It was not well thought out. So So I've gotten through the first season and the first three episodes of season two. I'm not really feeling season two. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's, I think, a common thought. Yeah, season two is kind of the lesser season.
Well, I heard that once you get through like the first 7, 8, 9 episodes, and then you're okay, and then just watch the ending and you can move on. But even the first three definitely seems different. So,
No, you have to get through the first 7. You have to get through to 7 where they wrap up the Laura Palmer thread. Then you can abandon it, because then it's terrible. It's terrible, and I'm the biggest David Lynch apologist, and it's brutal. But I would say maybe watch the last 3.
Okay. Well, now if I skip from seven to that's 20 hours. I have a lot of comfort. I have one fewer TV too. So.
Oh my gosh, that's right. That tube TV.
I know. I really have a lot of. Yeah. And I have to let my wife use my little man cave TV. I know. Again, don't cry for me.
But I wouldn't stop after 7. I would watch at least the end of that season too.
Okay.
I think it informs Firewalk with Me, and it will inform when you jump into what's happening now.
So if I skip 10 episodes and go into like,
I don't know. I feel so bad advising you to do this too.
I'm sure listeners will.
Again, just like Jackie, I would say sit through the whole thing, but I know that it's gonna be rough. My wife and I are going through it now, and it needs me to watch her.
I guess you
gotta
fill yourself in.
It's like saying,
you can fill yourself in with Wikipedia if you really need to.
It's like saying, okay, get on this flight. It's going to be the worst turbulence of your life, but there's going to be Paris on the other side of it. So should you get on the flight or not? is that a good analogy?
Yes.
I mean, I guess if the flight's like 20 hours long.
Right. If you get to Paris for free in a dog kennel, would you do it?
So that's 8. Okay. Well. So anyway,
I would.
Firewalk with Me. I don't know if either of you own the Twin Peaks entire mystery. That's actually how I've been powering through this is through this DVD, a Blu-ray set. So are you going? And I think Firewalk with Me is probably a good idea for Criterion for the people that don't have this set, or maybe for the people that do.
But how do you not? I don't know who buys Firewalk with Me without purchasing the first two seasons. Like, I'm really happy that it's part of Criterion. Love it. Yes, I will buy it day one. I'm not even going to wait for a sale. I'm super excited. But I have the box set. Like, it's right on my shelf.
Right.
I've been watching it. I don't know why. I know why they're doing this, but it doesn't make sense to release that film as though it's a standalone film. It's not.
Because people like me will watch it without any context, and they'll be like, what's the...
I guess.
Right. They're saying, Twin Peaks, not much of a time investment.
It'll sell units. I mean, there's no doubt there. It'll sell.
Yeah.
So, and there's also the art life. But before I get to the art life, and without spoiling anything, so how is the new season? So, I know Jackie is absolutely bonkers about it. Doug, have you watched it? Or
I love it. It's so amazing. I'm just so happy. I'm so happy right now. I mean, they brought back Twin Peaks. They brought back Mystery Science Theater. I don't know what's happening.
Screenshotted your happiness.
Right. I'm just so happy. No,
I'm on the podcast season, with two people that are basically jumping up and joy.
Yeah. The new season is wonderful. It's exactly what I wanted, because it's not Twin Peaks, but it is. It's not
perfect.
Like a fan. It's not a love letter to the fans. It's just like, this is new crazy shit that he wants to do, and I love it.
And you know, the things I think I like about the season, like the dancing guy, the dancing little guy, I guess that's the Black Lodge, I think, and then and then the giant guy that comes out. I like the weird shit. I don't like the, hey, we're going to go through these animal files or stuff like that, or the melodramatic relationship stuff. Leo's, this and that. So it sounds like, using my turbulence analogy, the new season is like Paris or Paradise. Worth it? worth getting in that dog.
Yeah, you're getting
tunnel?
To his artistic vision. Yeah, exactly. Whereas season two really lacks that. So, like, what you love, the arm, which is the little dancing man, and the giant, those are all, you know, come from David Lynch's visions, which he then strings into a narrative versus, you know, just the kind of Mark Frost narrative.
And I hear Michael Cera is worth something.
Oh, my gosh. He's wonderful.
I laughed so hard when he showed up. I have not laughed that hard at something on TV in a long time.
Okay. Is it just out of... Well, don't spoil. Yeah.
Anyway. We're not going to spoil it, but it's wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. Just good is... wonderful is fine. So David Lynch, The Art Life. And I've been calling it The Art of Life. It's funny how when you don't see a movie, you just add a word to the title. Uh-huh. So I finally watched The Art Life. So before I talk about it, have either of you seen it?
Yes.
No, I have not.
Okay, well, Jackie. Well, it's probably coming out on Criterion. So
sorry, Jackie.
She's insulted.
Well,
Art Life. What do you think, Jackie?
Oh, it's wonderful. Most of these stories you can catch in his lengthier interviews. So, for instance, Douglas. Hmm? Aaron, if you guys haven't read this, this is Lynch on Lynch. Okay. It's, you know, that director on director series, interviews by Chris Rodley. Really extensive, wonderful. And it goes chronologically through his art life and through his films. Most of the stories and the interviews that you're going to hear in The Art Life is in this book. Of course, there are some exceptions, like that wonderful little story he had about going to the Bob Dylan concert.
Yeah, that was great.
And how he lost his roommate.
With Peter Wolf from Jay Giles. And he left a Bob Dylan concert, and Peter Wolf said basically, F you, don't walk out on Bob Dylan.
Yeah, you don't leave a...
Yeah, no, I see both
sides. David Lynch responded, I am leaving a Bob Dylan concert. What did he say? Get the fuck out of my way! And then they stop being roommated. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably do. And then 10 years later, probably, you know, Peter Wolf saw Eraserhead and was like, wow, man, is that Bob Dylan guy?
Bob Dylan ruined their relationship.
And David Lynch's success keeps on reminding Peter Wolf of what could have been. So I just added to my wish list. But I didn't know any of this stuff. And I knew that he was an artist, you know, like the traditional paint canvas artist. But I didn't know how closely that aligned with his visual technique, with his directorial technique. So I was kind of riveted watching even seeing his art. I just seeing how he goes through the process. This guy, I mean, you could say, I mean, he's successful, he's making money, but he is a true, true artist. And
absolutely.
And he's fucked up, I'm sorry.
Deeply.
Did you hear the thing about the dolls he had with him?
The dolls he had with him? No.
No.
Right. I'll have to look it up because I can't really tell it. But apparently he had, like, he lived his life with, like, five dolls. I'm going to have to Google it and get back to you guys. and then apparently it was so bonkers. But apparently he had a falling out with these inanimate objects and he... severed them from his life.
Wow.
So talk about something I'm Googling, please.
Okay, well, that kind of makes sense because he always talks about, well, in these interviews that he's like almost well-known to be like a nonverbal person. Like, he hates communicating with words. He feels like it's, you know, kind of useless. That's where he gets into painting and things. So, yeah, I wonder if he just had like a really weird emotional relationship with these dolls.
So is the film, again, I mean, I'm the only one here who has seen it. Is it a lot of just interviews with him, sort of talking head style? Or
it's kind of an extended, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, also pieced together with him working on a single art piece throughout it. So he kind of takes you through. So you're kind of going through his mental process. It's also going through his early history from his childhood pretty much until... around the end of Eraserhead.
It's
you
kind of
see him as an artist.
It's not like, hey, I made this film, this is what people said, and then I went and made this film. It's not like De Palma, where they just basically talk about his filmography. So I like that about it. I mean, I don't know his entire career, but I know enough that maybe a part two would be fine. But I did not find the doll thing, so I'll probably come back to it later and put it in the show notes. It's a great story, so I recommend.
Are you sure it wasn't just a dream you had? Maybe?
No, that's it. I saw it on social media. He was pictured sitting with five dolls, and they were some brand like it's like Cabbage Patch. It's not Cabbage Patch Kids, but something like that. Like he had five dolls, and he would, they were like his pets, and there were a few photographs with him with them. And then in an interview, somebody asked him, and he said that I've severed my relationship with them. Yeah, so
that's great.
Yeah. So anyway, expect a lot of David Lynch in the collection coming forward. Obviously, in social media on Showtime. If I get with this cord cutting, I'll add Showtime. So, all right. Well, let's gear back to Criterions. So this week we had it's tough to transition from David Lynch stuffed animals to Criterion releases. But so we had Ghost World came out and World Cinema Project Part Deux came out this past week, May 30th. And then this coming week we have Ugetsu, which is we're in June now. It's June 6th. So either of you excited for any of these or did you buy them? I'll start with Jackie since I know what Doug's going to say.
Well, I'm always interested in the World Cinema Project. I haven't gotten either yet, but Ghost World, I haven't seen it since it came out, so I'm kind of curious to see where I stand on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good answer. And me too, actually. Doug?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm going to echo Jackie's statement there. I mean, I saw Ghost World, I think, the week it was released. I didn't know anything about it, went in. It was wonderful. I can't wait to watch it again. See if it holds up, but I think I'm more excited about World Cinema Project too, definitely.
Yeah, me too, and I'll come back to this during my short take, but yeah, I got both of them this week. On Tuesday, the mailman was brought some other stuff too, so it was a big, gigantic package. So, and actually just WCP2 is a big, gigantic package. That's that's a brick, so yeah, I can't wait to dive into that. So let's get into Rumblefish. Did you guys get a chance to watch it?
Yes.
And by the way,
just yes and no answers again. Let's just I'm okay with that. I'm happy.
Well, it'll be a short cast, so maybe that's a good and by the way, we usually go alphabetically, and I've been biasing it by going to Jackie. That's just because Doug.
Oh, sorry. No, that's fine. As long as whoever you want to start with, just let me know. I'm just going to sit back.
Okay, well, I'm starting with you, Doug, because now I feel guilty. So, okay. Doug, what do you think about Rumblefish?
I love Rumblefish, and I didn't think I would because I didn't like it when I was younger. It was a movie that I watch now, and I realized, and even in the interview, Coppola is saying something about how, it's an art film for teens. And I just didn't get it. Like when I was 15 or 16, I watched this going, what is this? I don't enjoy this. This isn't Commando or RoboCop. I'm not digging this, but
colored fucking fish. What?
Yes. Why is it in black and white? Why is he floating around so much? No, I enjoyed it so much this time around. I think it's amazing. The cast is insane. I didn't remember Mickey just Rourke. Wall-to-wall stars. Yeah.
It really. But seeing Mickey, and he'd been in other things too, but just seeing him playing, after you've seen The Wrestler, seeing the motorcycle guy is, it's something. And by the way, I think I'm Doug, we're about the same age, right? I think.
Yeah, I don't know. What are you, 73?
Yeah, 72. Okay.
Okay, yeah, pretty close.
I think we're in the same generation, but I remember this just on cable all the time on those page.
That's where I saw
it. Yeah, same here. And I think I saw like maybe 20 minutes of it, and I think I had a similar reaction. It was like, okay, this is not The Outsiders. Let's move on. going into this, the same take. But before I get to me, Jackie, what'd you think?
You know, it took me a while to have an opinion. I wasn't sure. On one hand, I think I love it. I'm pretty sure I love it. I don't know. I'm really conflicted. It goes one way or the other. Either I just hate it or I just love it.
It's
but I will say Mickey Rourke, wow. Did you know that he actually, despite the fact that he knew this was going to be shot in black and white, in order to get into character, he dyed his hair like vibrant red and wore green contact lenses the whole time. Like, for some reason, this channeled red hair and green eyes channeled Motorcycle Boy for him. It was
interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think Coppola just didn't have the heart to tell him? He was like, oh, no, he's not saying don't say anything to him.
And we know Mickey Rourke now. He's a little out there. So,
He's real. I mean, he's the real deal. I think he actually is Motorcycle Boy.
He might be. That might have been his he took on that character and went with it. Well, I think that's a proper answer. It's a challenging film. It is. And I think that's the case whether you're 14 or 40. It's, you know, it is black and white, but it is very much, it's S.E. Hinton. It's, if you've seen The Outsiders, it's kind of that target in a way, or that, I guess that genre. And in fact, the first half, I thought, okay, what's going on here? You know, it's basically just a rehash of a lot of these movies we've already seen. You know, okay, Matt Dillon's not the brightest. All right, the motorcycle guy is the coolest. But that last half hour or so, it reminded me like kind of a Cassavetes, like maybe Shadows kind of Cassavetes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that does a disservice to Coppola by making that comparison. And maybe a little French New Wave, definitely not anything Hollywood would like rubber stamp and say, okay, do this. So I understand why they had some reticence. But I thought it was kind of amazing, actually. But I'm with you, Jackie. I'm still ambivalent. I could have hated it.
It's a weird blend.
Yeah, it wasn't what I remembered. I mean, it's so ethereal and the contrast. I mean, just everything is white or black, and it's shot amazingly well. And again, when I was younger, I loved The Outsiders. I hated this. I recently watched The Outsiders.
Doesn't hold up. I know. I mean, you have a podcast about this stuff.
They basically switched positions, I guess, in my mind. But I'm glad I have it. I'm glad I have that Blu-ray now. So,
And I have to confess, I cheated. So one of the things is I try to buy all the Criterion. No, I do buy all of them. But this one, I'd already bought the Masters of Cinema, and so I'm not in any hurry. So I just watched that finally. And the thing is, it's a steelbook, and who was it that was tweeting me about steelbooks and how terrible they are? I disagree. I like steelbooks. I think they're beautiful, and this one especially. Mm. So this is a quandary. I don't know if I'll bother. But did you get to the supplements? Are they worthwhile?
I didn't get to any supplements. No.
I watched. Almost all of them. It's great to see the cast now talking about the film. It was really, really interesting to see Matt Dillon and who was the woman? I can't even think of her name now.
Diane Lane.
Yeah, Diane Lane talking about this movie, and they just have such fondness for it, and you can tell just by listening to them. Yeah.
I forget, were these new interviews or were they?
Yeah. Brand new.
The Masters of Cinema has a commentary.
2016.
Okay. Well, that might be reason. I'm getting it anyway. Who am I fooling? But that's reason maybe to not procrastinate too long. So there is a commentary on the Masters of Cinema. I don't know if it ported over to the Criterion. I didn't research this.
I think it did. I'd have to get up to go get the box, but I'm pretty sure there's a commentary. I didn't watch it, but
we'll stop the podcast. Go ahead. We'll just wait.
Do you want me to?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's literally right over there. and the commentary's on here. And I don't know if it's the same one. It doesn't say new commentary. Oh, you grabbed it too. What are we doing here?
Power of editing.
this thing is stacked. I mean, it has interviews from 1984 and 83, 2005, 2016. Yeah, this thing is stacked.
Well, this is the steelbook, and this helps with a podcast.
That's right.
Isn't it gorgeous? Looks nice.
I love steelbooks.
I like the illustration.
It is beautiful, it doesn't tell me anything about the commentary, so I'd actually have to go on the internet or the supplements.
Oh, you have to put the disc in something.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. And, so much work.
And you don't even have a TV. We can't do this.
I have two other TVs. But there were some supplements. I didn't watch them either, but I'll look forward to the Criterion someday. So should we move on to what we call short takes? This is what we do. We just talk about a criterion we have seen lately, and so I'm just looking at the Google Doc, and Jackie's indecisive. So we'll start with Doug. Doug, do you want to talk about a short take?
I do want to talk about a short take. My short take, I just saw it a couple of days ago, was Kanoa, I guess, A Shameful Memory. And it's such a good movie. It's one of those that I had not heard of before it was released, before it was announced, before I had it in my hands. I didn't do any research into that this was an actual event. I didn't know anything about it going in, and it's just a wonderfully made, and for as depressing as the subject matter is, and you know it's like from the outset, like the first 2 minutes, you know what's going to happen. It's still fun getting that. Like the characters, and it almost reminded me of a horror film, how you're just following these
absolutely
college students, and they're having a great time, and they have this wonderful camaraderie, and it's so enjoyable, even though you know what's going to happen, and maybe that makes it even worse once it does happen. And even by today's standards, I thought that last 15 minutes was shocking.
Yeah,
it was extremely brutal. Yeah,
for the 70s. Yeah, I love that movie too, and that's a great discovery. I'd never heard of it before this year.
But,
yeah,
and so the weird documentarian style too. It's a great film.
People haven't seen it,
and it's sitting on your shelf. Pull it off. Take a look now.
And it's on Filmstruck too. If people would actually get off their asses and get the trial, they would be able to watch it without. So okay, and for people that don't know, we have a little Google Doc, and you listed like three things, Jackie, with question marks. So which would you like? Or two things?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Okay, I've been kind of a slacker.
Okay,
I haven't watched much Criterion this month because I've been deep in my Lynch zone.
Fair.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about two things. One, if you have the Mildred Pierce DVD, you have to watch the interview with Joan Crawford. It is so almost upsetting. And so this is her in, I think it's in the early 70s. And you kind of get, you know, I haven't experienced Joan Crawford at that age since probably the 80s, you know, when she was like a little more...
Yeah.
After Mommy Dearest, you know, you got to see a lot of interviews. But to see her now as an adult at that age, after her peak, you know, during post the Cultural Revolution, despite the fact that, you know, she so represented sexuality of women in the 30s, you know, was a wonderfully bold actress. Oh my gosh. To see her in this crazy pink monstrosity, like totally kind of deflated and infantile and like a character from Tennessee Williams. It's wonderful and absolutely worth watching. and number two, David Lynch shorts. That's what like I've been all about. Okay?
Not Dumbland, right?
I love Dumbland. Okay,
Dumbland's fine. It gets a bad rap.
I get it, but it's just.
It's actually some of those first you'd see in the art life. So, what is it? Six Men. Six Men Getting Sick. The Alphabet. The Grandmother. Worth watching.
Those are good.
He goes into his visual art. You know, his when he transitioned to the movement of his visual art. Yeah, absolutely worth watching.
Cool. No, I love it. And I like the bunny one. And I know that's later, and that's kind of what was tied to Inland Empire. So I hope that.
Yes.
I hope Inland Empire comes out. I'm one of the few that likes that movie. And I noticed
I love it.
I love it.
Okay, all right.
I love everything he's ever done except for Dune. Uh-huh. That's it. I mean,
exactly the same.
Dune rocks.
Dune is terrible.
Everything else
is the best.
I rewatched Dune about a month ago to see if it held up. And Doug, I'm sorry, it holds up.
Oh,
and
God. Then
it's so good.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yes, you're wrong. You're wrong. And I know everybody else thinks I'm wrong, and that's fine.
Just cut my mic right now, and that'll be it.
Yeah, we're all
Dune is heavy on the exposition, but I think once... Now, the thing is, I watched it like 10 times. That was the movie on cable that was on all the time that I watched. So, Dune's on, I'm watching it. All right, Blue Eyes, Muad'Dib or
that's
whatever.
That's a problem.
I geeked out.
It's a part
of
your psyche.
It is, yeah. So I can't extricate myself from my childhood experience. But I was pretty objective. I thought it was pretty good. But anyway.
Yeah, but I think You've Got Mail is a great movie, so, you know.
You think
we're both wrong. You've Got Mail is a great movie, so we're both wrong.
It's okay. I mean, I get the shop on the corner connection. Uh-huh. I thought it was charming, so it's not Lubitsch, but it's fine.
Dang it. Okay, fine.
See, I'm not terrible. I'm mostly not terrible. Especially when Doug's on the podcast. That makes me look better. Sorry, Doug.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I get dumped on. Don't worry. You can say whatever you want. You can go on and on for 3 hours about Who Got Mail or Who Loves Mail. You literally just said the name of the movie and I can't remember it. You Got Mail.
It was on those AOL discs from 1996, Doug.
That's right.
You were there.
Yeah.
No, Doug, I love you, Doug. So, bro hug if we weren't on a nice podcast. All right. So my short take is going to extreme seriousness is Tuki Buki, which was Senegalese, and I forgot the name of the actor, and I don't have it written, or the director, and I didn't write it down, but it's I wouldn't pronounce it anyway. Although, what was interesting is that this was his first film, and he shot it for $30,000, so it was 1972, 73, something like that. And it's on the Sight and Sound 250. It's very well reputed. And a lot of people I respect love it. And in fact, somebody on the show said it was kind of like Godard. So I kind of see that. But again, I don't want to be offensive to this filmmaker. And I will look that up. But so it's challenging, extremely challenging, and kind of like the toughest Godard in that you're not just going to turn it on and get a happy. You're not going to get You've Got Mail. But it's very fragmented, and there are slices of life, very post-colonial, so if you're if you know Usman Sembin, it's very much in that vein too, but again, Djibril Diop Mambedi is the filmmaker from Senegal, and it was 1973, but it has so much energy, and it's so vibrant. Now, and by the way, it has animal violence too, so it's actually grotesque, and like disturbing. In fact, what was that that black and white short by Franju about the abattoirs? Did you ever see that?
No.
I'm sure listeners have. They basically just slaughter animals for 20 minutes, but it's in black and white, so that makes it a little more bearable. This is kind of the same thing, but it's in color, so, and in very vivid color. So yeah, that was tough, but yeah, I thought it was very powerful. I kind of like Rumblefish. I'm not sure what I think of it. I love the energy. I love the spirit, but I don't know that I could sit down and just watch it again as, you know, as a movie. Not like say Black Girl. I could watch Black Girl a few times.
Right.
Mm. But that was the next to last WCP film for me to see. So, you know, I'm making progress there. I'm guessing you guys haven't seen this.
No.
No, I have not. No, I have not.
I'm sure the animal violence did not sway you. Yeah.
I know. Now I'm like, oh, you shouldn't have said it. I probably would have watched it. I don't know if I'll watch it. I don't know if I want to watch this now.
Yeah, it's worth watching, but the animal violence is challenging. So,
does it come on suddenly? Do I have a chance to put my hand over my eyes?
You know, kind of no, because the thing is, they're kind of jump cuts. So there's like one scene, and actually this might appeal to you, Doug. So there's a scene of a topless woman, and then it cuts to it cuts to a goat gushing blood, and then back to the woman, back to the goat. So
wow. Aaron, you really know what I'm into. That's amazing.
There's probably some fetish internet channel for that sort of... okay, sorry. Okay, moving on. Now, that was short takes, everybody. Tuki Buki. So anyway, Filmstruck. So I know Doug did not get the trial. You don't really need it for this show, and that's okay. But Jackie, do you experience Filmstruck?
Yes.
All right. Did you get the?
I love it.
The trial, or are you a subscriber?
No, I'm a subscriber. Shame. And shame, a beta Doug. Tester on Roku. All the things.
Oh, how's that going? Is it?
I actually haven't even tried it yet. I just use my Amazon Fire Stick.
Same here. Yeah.
It's like having it status.
Oh, there you go. It's just another notch on that cinephile resume. Yeah, Filmstruck is pretty amazing, Doug. So this week we got a number of pretty interesting collections. We there was early Bogdanovich, and Jackie, I have to say that your old Facebook profile and your I guess your Skype profile reminds me of like Last Picture Show Bogdanovich. Was that what you were going for?
No, not really.
Okay. Have you seen it?
Super cool. Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I guess I can see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love early Bogdanovich. Targets is really good.
Is Targets on there?
Get the trial.
Right. I mean, I'm not get the saying trial. I'm just getting Filmstruck for Targets, but I really enjoy Targets.
Targets. Oh is my gosh. Movie. Yeah. Yeah. Paper Moon's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Paper Moon, Doug?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen everything. All the films you guys have mentioned so far, I've seen, and okay. I enjoy. Later Bogdanovich, not so much, but yeah. Early Bogdanovich, yeah.
And there's, of course, the picture show What's Up, Doc? And Daisy Miller, and I have not seen the latter two. So, Jackie, Bogdanovich, are you a fan?
You know, actually, I've only seen Last Picture Show, Paper Moon, obviously, because it was on cable, like on repeat, throughout mm-hmm. the whole 80s and 90s. So I've probably seen that about 100 times. Love it.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tatum is great. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Actually, Alicia Malone from Filmstruck just did a really good interview with them at the TCM Film Festival. That's worth checking out. And cool. I love her so much. Mm-hmm.
And I love Bogdanovich as a filmmaker, too, but also just as a film scholar and kind of a film advocate. I mean,
yes.
And, you know, all the stuff he's done with Orson Welles and other filmmakers, too. I mean, basically, he has that reputation, the credibility. So anything he says about a filmmaker, I'm going to listen. So,
yeah.
And there's also gay and lesbian cinema. So. And one thing somebody pointed out earlier is that Wong Kar-wai's Happy Together has Criterion branding. Oh. So, could come out. There have been rumors of some Wong Kar-wai coming. So, and this one, a lot of these I did not know, but I saw just before we started recording that Wild Reeds, Andre Tashin, somebody said that that's one of the most amazing movies ever and said, wow, that's on there. Please watch it. And there are a lot of other movies. The Times of Harvey Milk, Quirrell from Fassbender. Uh-huh. So, Doug, you're at a disadvantage because you don't have the trial, and there's like 15 movies. I'm not going to read them all. But and you're not going to say you're against gay and lesbian cinema, so I'll just ask you about Happy Together.
I really love Happy Together. I went on a... You know, years and years ago, I went on a bit of a Wong Kar-wai binge, you know, when Tarantino came out and talked about how great, I can't think of that movie, the Chungking Express was.
Oh, yeah. So
then I just tried to watch everything of his that I possibly could. From what I remembered, I really enjoyed it, but it was a real long time ago.
Okay. So, Jackie, did you, and these all came out today, so it's not that... Mm-hmm. That you'd have a chance to watch any of them, but any of these are you familiar with? Well, there's also a Basil Dearden. There's quite a good selection here.
To be honest, not really.
Yeah, they're pretty obscure. Pretty obscure.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a lot of LGBT movies from the 50s and 40s.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't be too familiar.
Yeah, me neither. So.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, we'll move on to the Criterion Channel, and there was an Observations in Film Art number 7, which was about staging and rules of the game.
Oh, and Jackie, really nice.
Yeah, you might not know this, but I'm a Jean Renoir nut. In fact, you mm-hmm. probably saw my Skype avatar was Jean Gabin.
Yes.
But I had trouble with this because I've studied this movie, and this is going to sound super snobby, mm-hmm. and this is probably the right show for that. But the clips in it were not the restored print, and so they didn't really show the deep focus. So I was like, I know. <I'm> horrible. So I had trouble. I was distracted. So, okay. Doug, you didn't get the trial. So what do you think about staging and rules of the game?
Based on the 30-second clip that I saw on Criterion's webpage, I am excited to watch it. I'm never going to get the trial. It's never going to happen. That's terrible to say.
I know. It'll happen.
You're that was worst. A joke.
Yeah.
It will happen. I'm not a big Rules of Game fan, though. I know.
You're the contrarian here, Doug.
I had to say it about at least one movie. I mean, I'm on this podcast for a reason, right?
You've been on a roll this time. You haven't really offended anybody.
Just talk about David Lynch and I'm on board. Don't throw anything else in there.
Yeah, anything actual. Well, I was going to actually slag David Lynch. So have you seen Rules of the Game, Jackie?
Oh, yes, a few times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you. Okay. Good for you. Like,
actually, I almost defriended someone in real life because she was holding on to my Rules of the Game for too long. She gave it back 2 weeks ago.
Wrong.
Thank God.
I would never loan out Rules of the Game. So, all right. Well, there's this short feature, and I try to watch these shorts if I can, but I didn't get to it this week. But it's there's like a Scottish connection, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, but it's Caillellech. So. I don't know, Kali. I'm sure there's a Scottish way to pronounce that, which I don't know. And also, the Powell and Pressburger, I Know Where I'm Going, which is a beautiful movie. I love Powell and Pressburger. I don't know the connection. Two headstrong women emerge from the foggy crags of the remote Scottish Hebrides in a tender documentary and effervescent romance. So, Caillellech is a documentary. Mm-hmm. Did you get to watch any, Jackie?
I didn't, actually.
Fair. Have you seen the Palin Pressburger?
No.
It's okay. And Doug, I know not to ask you.
We should just deleted this from the Google Doc. That's it. No, I haven't seen either one. I love Palin Pressburger, but this is not one that I've seen.
It's good. You'd like it. And I'm glad it's on Filmstruck. So, and I'm glad you can't see it because you won't. Just click a few buttons. So moving on, actually, and this time, Doug, I know you're going to be on board because they did a digital spine for 12 Angry Men, and we did a close-up episode about that a very, very long time ago. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the only movie on any of these podcasts ever that you've actually liked. Is that correct?
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the one?
Before today and Fire Walk With Me, 12 Angry Men was the only other movie I've ever liked. And apparently Targets, too. Enjoy that.
Yeah, there you go. You're 3 out of 10 today.
I did that episode so long ago, I forgot I needed to be negative.
Well, I think that was your first podcast besides your own,
yeah.
Right?
So it was. And I do have to say, and I know I don't know if I messaged you or I just put this in Criterion Guy or something, asking about what a digital spine was, and then I listened to your podcast from last week where you explained what a digital spine was. And so this is what happens when you don't have the trial. You don't understand what those two words mean.
Terrible things happen. And in fact, I almost wanted to say, well, just listen to the last episode, Doug. Come on. But I answered.
I always listen. You don't have to remind me. I always listen.
And we also had a digital spine of Dressed to Kill. So, De Palma. Great museum sequence. I think it's class. I think it's actually just an okay De Palma, but it has great moments. Doug's making a lemon face.
Fine.
Jackie?
I haven't seen it. I'm just now exploring De Palma, really.
Okay.
I
would say it's probably one of the most popular De Palmas. Maybe the most popular. But I think I think Sisters, Carrie, and Blowout.
Blowout.
I always do
Blow.
That.
Yeah.
Those three are the go-to movies for De Palma.
I'm right there with you, Aaron. I think those three are great. Dressed to Kill seems so it's weird to look at films from that era through what we know today, but just all of the exposition at the end of why he's cross-dressing, I'm like, oh, this is so painful to try and listen to.
Yeah, it was. That part doesn't
spoiler,
age well.
In case you haven't seen the movie, just ruined it.
Yeah, that's all right. It's fine. Actually, you did. Blame Doug.
Yep, blame me, guys.
I would edit it out, but I just want people to.
I hope you're never planning on watching it, Jackie, because
That's I like it. The tagline.
Targets 2 with Doug McCambridge. So, and I skipped over you on 12 Angry Men. I can't imagine that you don't like 12 Angry Men, Jackie.
No, I love it. Yeah, it's amazing. It's a perfect movie.
That's pretty much the show. Do you like this? Yes or no? And,
yes.
And Doug's usually no. So they had the Friday double feature, which was one that I've seen, Chabrol, La Ceremonie. And the other one I haven't seen, but I really want to, it's Joseph Losey's La Truite. I just like Losey. And the connection here is Isabelle Huppert. And, of course, I adore that woman. You can watch her in anything. And this is 82. It also has an aging Jean Moreau and a very... Actually, I'm sorry. I read it as Vincent Cassel, but never mind. Jean-Pierre Cassel. I don't know if that. Maybe that's his dad. He's been in some Melville films. So, and by the way, you probably haven't seen it, but to listener and Doug, you don't have the trial, so you can't. But listeners, there's going to be something else related to the ceremony coming up later in the month. So if you want to prepare for that, and it's worth watching. It's a great Chabrol, one of my favorites. So I'll just catch all. Anybody seen anything here? All right, that's what I thought.
Nine.
No, and if you really want me to get the trial, you have to keep sending me titles like this, because after I read about both of these are movies that I want to see so badly. They sound amazing.
La Ceremonie absolutely lives up to it. It's such a good movie. And it has Huppert, it has Jackie Bisset, and I think it has Natalie Bay. Or no, Sandrine Bonnaire. So that's the girl from Vagabond and other things. get the trial, Doug. So, okay, well, we're done with our episode here. Did you have fun?
I had so much fun. Thanks for inviting me, guys.
Cool. Well, we're not technically done. We have the piece of flair.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so, Doug, what's your piece of flair?
My piece of flair is I am going to sing the praises of director Osgood Perkins, who is son of Anthony Perkins. He's only made two films. One was a Netflix film called I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, which I wasn't crazy about. And then I watched his first film called The Black Coat's Daughter. And now I'm going to have to go give the other one another shot. It's wonderful. It's terrifying. It's the kind of film I like. A lot of long takes of characters just standing around staring with ominous music. Like, if you like Only God Forgives, you're going to love anything this guy makes.
You know, IMDb is sort of misleading with directors, but because the first thing that comes up that he's known for is Dorky David Kidney in Legally Blonde.
And he was in Legally Blonde.
I'm not doubting it.
That's right.
But,
he did direct. He directed a couple of movies.
Yeah, it looks like he did. Yeah, I'm sorry. I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House that you just mentioned, and The Black Coat's Daughter. So
yes.
So yeah. You recommend those?
Yeah, I really would. It's great. I love it when I can discover somewhat modern films that I'm just drawn to. And it might be a personal thing.
Ooh, I Am the Pretty Thing has a 4.7 rating on IMDb.
Black Coat's Daughter. Yeah, that was one I'm going to watch it again. The Black Coat's Daughter is amazing.
Okay.
Fantastic film, so.
You were breaking up a little bit there. In fact, you still are frozen.
Oh, there you are. Oh?
Yeah, you were too.
No, I think it was you. I don't know, Jackie, who was frozen?
It's definitely Douglas.
It's blame Doug, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm leaving that in too, just so people can know. Jackie, what's your piece of flair?
Well, I am I'm pretty much Jennifer Aniston in Office Space, and that I have no flair, guys.
Really?
I'm flairless.
Oh, okay. Nothing interesting?
I did watch, I watched A Dog's Purpose recently.
Okay.
That is so sad. I was crying the whole time. Okay, and in my defense, I was sick, and so I was looking for something, you know, easy to watch. It's terrible. It annihilated... It's a terrible movie, obviously, right? And it preys on your sentiment, which is dogs dying.
Right.
So
right.
I was literally crying the whole time. I do not recommend. And yet, I do.
Okay. Well, if I'm ever sick and want to cry.
Yeah, and just want to watch the sinuses. So. Horrible. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Of course, I remember the controversy, which turned out to be not a controversy. Kind of a false editing there. So that...
Those are some happy, adorable dogs.
But yeah,
is this just going to go down as the Criterion Now animal abuse episode? Is that?
Oh, no, there'll be plenty of those.
Okay. Oh my gosh, you're right! Wow,
that's a pretty much a frequent theme. I don't know why. Just classic films. If they ever come out with Wake and Fright, geez, yeah. All right, so anyway, to uplift things, my piece of flair is Rocco and His Brothers, the 1960 Luchino Visconti film, and I just finished watching it a couple hours ago, and it's very rare that I get to say this, but today I watched one of my favorite films of all time. It was so good. It's 3 hours, and I'm kind of used to Visconti three-hour epics, you know, The Leopard and there a few others. This is different. It's broken up into three chapters with the brothers, but it's more of like a family epic. And Alain Delon plays Rocco. There's boxing. I forget the actress that plays Nadia, but her character is just fantastic. And then it's really one brother, Simone, is the real key one. But yeah, I was riveted for this 3 hours. I can't wait to watch this again because I'm sure there's just it's very dense, great characters. So it got that rare 5 stars on Letterboxd, and I clicked that little like button or that little heart. So yeah, Rocco and His Brothers. It's out in the U.S. on Milestone, and boy, Criterion really messed up by not winning the bidding war for this. So, but I watched the Masters of Cinema editions. Have you seen it, either of you?
No,
I have not.
Visconti, yeah. No.
I am intrigued.
Mm-mm. It's so good, so good. So that's Criterion Now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. It's always fun.
It is. that was a little evil chuckle. Sorry there, Doug. It really is fun. You are one of my favorite guests, Doug. And Jackie, you're one of my new favorite guests. So thank you for joining us so much.
Oh, thank you. I hope we can talk about Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart next time.
Sure, yeah. it could have been your piece of flair. I haven't seen it, so I really couldn't help you there. But
it's so good, you guys.
I'll check it out. So anyway, you can find the show at our Facebook group. I'm very happy with the Facebook group. It's doing pretty well. Sometimes you never know what you're going to get. You know, you might get nasty trolls, but yeah, it's very active, and I think we're over.
So positive.
Very positive. And the poll thing went well, so we'll do more stuff like that. So that's at Criterion Now on Facebook. You can find the show at Criterion Cast, and it's also in the Criterion Cast Master Feed, so you can hear this one and plenty of other excellent shows. And don't worry about finding me. I'm somewhere. Doug, where can people find you online?
Oh my God. So I do have a website for my podcast. So if you want to listen to me make fun of movies from the 80s, it is called goodtimesgreatmovies.com. And you can find us on Twitter at GTGMcast.
And that's why I can't remember the name, is because you didn't have a website. So
GTGM,
good, great.
Okay. Interchangeable.
I'm looking at it. I see part of the Hollywood sign. All right, that works. Mm-hmm. So, Jackie, where can people find you online, or can people find you?
Okay, well, you can find me on Letterboxd. My username is Bonpants, Bonpants. Same username on Instagram, where you can find pictures of my dog.
All right, is your dog named Bon, and does he wear pants?
No, her name is Fanny, and she has one eye. You will love her.
Okay, well, I will look forward to meeting Fanny. I won't ask about the Bond pants.
I was going to ask.
Good pants, man. Good pants.
I was going to ask, what is your dog's purpose, or what do you think your dog's purpose is? No.
To snuggle.
Nope. Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. So fun. See you next time.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Boom.